Act I of Beyond the Horizon by Eugene O'Neill. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Beyond the Horizon by Eugene O'Neill. Act I. Characters: James Mayo, a farmer.
Read by Delmar H. Dolbear.
Kate Mayo, his wife.
Read by Amy Graymore.
Captain Dick Scott, of the Bark Sundra, her brother.
Read by Algy Pug.
Andrew Mayo.
Read by David Goldfarb.
And Robert Mayo.
Read by M.B.
Sons of James Mayo. Ruth Atkins.
Read by Elizabeth Klett.
Mrs. Atkins, her widowed mother.
Read by Arielle Lipshaw.
Mary.
Read by Dana Meilinger.
Ben, a farmhand. Read by Todd. Dr. Fawcett.
Read by Barry Eads.
Narrator. Read by Todd. Act I, Scene I. Scene: a section of country highway. The road runs diagonally from the left, forward, to the right, rear, and can be seen in the distance winding toward the horizon like a pale ribbon between the low rolling hills with their freshly plowed fields, clearly divided from each other, checkerboard fashion, by the lines of stone walls and rough snake fences. The forward triangle cut off by the road is a section of a field from the dark earth of which myriad bright green blades of false-sown rye are sprouting. A straggling line of piled rocks, too low to be called a wall, separates this field from the road. To the rear of the road is a ditch, with a sloping grassy bank on the far side. From the center of this, an old gnarled apple tree, just budding into leaf, strains its twisted branches heavenward, black against the pallor of distance. A snake fence sidles from left to right along the top of the bank, passing beneath the apple tree. The hushed twilight of a day in May is just beginning. The horizon hills are still rimmed by a faint line of flame, and the sky above them glows with the crimson flush of the sunset. This fades gradually as the action of the scene progresses. At the rise of the curtain, Robert Mayo is discovered sitting on the fence. He is a tall, slender young man of 23. There is a touch of the poet about him, expressed in his high forehead and wide, dark eyes. His features are delicate and refined, leaning to weakness in the mouth and chin. He is dressed in gray corduroy trousers, pushed into high-laced boots, and a blue flannel shirt with a bright-colored tie. He is reading a book by the fading sunset light. He shuts this, keeping a finger in to mark the place, and turns his head toward the horizon, gazing out over the fields and hills. His lips move as if he were reciting something to himself. His brother Andrew comes along the road from the right, returning from his work in the fields. He is 27 years old, an opposite type to Robert. Husky, sun-bronzed, handsome in a large-featured, manly fashion. A son of the soil. Intelligent in a shrewd way, but with nothing of the intellectual about him. He wears overalls, leather boots, a gray flannel shirt open at the neck, and a soft, mud-stained hat pushed back on his head. He stops to talk to Robert, leaning on the hoe he carries.
"Hey there!"
Robert turns with a start. Seeing who it is, he smiles.
"Gosh, you do take the prize for daydreaming. And I see you've toted one of the old books along with you."
He crosses the ditch and sits on the fence near his brother.
"What is it this time? Poetry, I'll bet."
He reaches for the book.
"Let me see."
Handing it to him rather reluctantly.
"Yeah, look out you don't get it full of dirt."
Glancing at his hands.
"That isn't dirt. It's good, clean earth."
He turns over the pages. His eyes read something.
"Humph."
With a provoking grin at his brother, he reads aloud.
"I have loved wind and light and the bright sea, but holy and most sacred night, not as I love and have loved thee."
He hands the book back.
"Here, take it and bury it. I suppose it's that year in college gave you a liking for that kind of stuff. I'm darn glad I stopped at high school, or maybe I'd been crazy too."
He grins and slaps Robert on the back affectionately.
"Imagine me reading poetry and plowing at the same time. The team'd run away, I'll bet."
"Or picture me plowing."
"You should have gone back to college last fall, like I know you wanted to. You're fitted for that sort of thing, just as I ain't."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?